Okay, I'm going to jump in here while there's still a few minutes.
You want to change?
No, I'm comfortable where I am. You can. And I'm going to ask the Lord just to help me out. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask that you will help me bring your love and some good practical advice to this dear group of people that we have the privilege of being with this morning. So, are you considering, perhaps, any of you, long-term ministry? Long-term being like, no, you don't have to put your hands up. I don't want to, if there's people here who are not under any circumstances considering it, I don't want you to stand out. But just what I'm going to be generally talking about is things that might be helpful to people who have a feeling that long-term ministry is where they're headed. We've been now doing it for 18 months, as you heard from Lorianne, so we are experts. I exaggerate sometimes. This is my fourth career, missionary, and the other three were totally unconnected from one another. So I've had plenty of time to sort of think about the last 18 months and my fourth career. Here are some of the things that I feel I've learnt in this last 18 months. And some of them are spiritual, some of them are practical. We'll come to the practical ones at the end. Firstly, I really would like to pick up on one of Lorianne's themes, the power of ministering to children. I don't know if you know this, but the average age that the world's most famous missionaries came to Christ is 7. And at that age, between sort of 7 and 11, children are very receptive. They have not yet been got at by the famous atheists in the world who are bent on their own agenda, which is the exact opposite of our agenda. And children will therefore believe what they hear without immediately trying to think of a reason why you're talking nonsense. Children's ministry, on the other hand, is kind of like the Cinderella ministry in many churches. If a church has a Sunday school and the church is running out of money, the first thing they'll chop is the Sunday school. It should be the last thing they chop. From a missionary point of view, if we help a 10-year-old to become a follower of Jesus, they have their whole life ahead of them to practice their faith and probably to influence many, many other people. Whereas if we worked in shall we say, ministry for middle-aged people or even elderly people, it's a wonderful ministry, but they don't have that time to really let it develop. So we love working with children. I never thought I would, because I never taught children until we started doing this. I've been a teacher to adults in industry and commercial life, so I've been taught a little bit about how to teach. But teaching children is something completely different, because particularly Afrikaans children, because they want to keep talking all the time. And I usually start my lessons off in the morning with, no, you can talk and I will listen, or I can talk and you will listen. Which one do you want to do? And they'll listen for about 10 seconds, and then they'll start talking again. So it's fun. So as Lorianne said, we do ministry with a number of children's groups. The one that excites me most is what we've been doing in Avian Park, which is a rather dangerous township in Worcester, where there's a fair number of murders happening and a lot of gangs. And there are lots and lots of children. If you go in there at 10 o'clock at night, you'll find the streets are still full of children walking around. And in fact, I do go in sometimes in the evening, and the number one thing on my mind is be very careful how I drive. My sort of ultimate horrific story would be to run someone over in my car. I can't imagine anything worse than that. That's just a small aside. But we, at first, when we joined My Father's House Ministry, We were going in once a week into a library, which is in the middle of Alien Park, and we were teaching up to 70 or even more children, and it was impossible. The sound level was massive, and in order to get them to shut up, I had to shout at the top of my voice. You can imagine that this did not endear us to the librarians at the time, and we realized that we had to get out of there. We had to do something different. Now, there's an organization that I think most of you won't have heard of called the Mailbox Club, TMC. Anyone ever heard of it? Okay. Started about 55 years ago somewhere in America, and they wanted to provide educational materials for children. And you've heard of it. And not only for in English, but in lots of different languages. So they provide materials in Afrikaans. And these are the most common language amongst children in Worcester. And so I was introduced to this organization, and they came down, and for half a day they trained us in our own house. And it was the leaders of the Mailbox Club Africa that came. And I learned so much in that half day that I had no clue about before, some of which I've just shared with you. The incredible value and the bang for your buck that you get from ministering to children. And the number one thing they told us is, you cannot have more than 10, or they will always defeat you. You won't have to hear your sort of thing. And you need to split them down, therefore, into groups of 10. But then they told us something that's just extraordinary to me then. Now I'm getting used to it. You teach the 12 and 13-year-olds how to teach the 8 and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. And you'd think it would be pretty impossible, wouldn't you? Well, a TKOG factor then crept in. Remember what that was? The kindness of God. I spoke to the large group in the library and I said, we are going to change what's going on here, and we are going to have lots of small groups. And I would like to ask anybody who is interested in leading one of those small groups to come up to the front. Now, normally, asking for volunteers is a really bad way of getting the people that you want, because all the wrong people will volunteer. In life in general, if you're looking for volunteers to help you with a ministry somewhere in the West, all the people who come and offer will have no car, no telephone. Most of them will be in some way disabled. And what they really need is someone to be a friend and someone to pick them up and take them places all the time. It's a dead loss, okay? So I was concerned that that wouldn't work in this case. Well, I can tell you that the 7 or 8 kids that came forward and said, yes, I'd like to do this, are still the 7 or 8 children that we work with all the time. Wow. Isn't that an amazing miracle? Yeah. And so we have done this. We taught them for 3 months with the help of an Afrikaans-speaking YWAMer called Soraya. We taught them one of the mailbox courses, which is called Explorers. And while we looked on, and we didn't understand what they were talking about, but Soraya is a great teacher of young people, and they went right through the course. We heard later, by the way, that one of the girls, and Lorianne mentioned her, Chantal, yeah, came to Christ on that very first session that was run by Soraya. That was when she told us later that she felt Jesus came into our heart. So now, after the course, then we started these clubs. It wasn't easy to find locations for them. Some of the parents of the children didn't want other children in their houses. But we did find enough that we could have about four clubs running. And we've had a maximum so far of 5 clubs. And not all of them run every week. But generally on a Monday afternoon from 3 till 4, these clubs are operating. And to see the teenage leaders, with the help of this material from the mailbox clubs, which we receive free, by the way, teaching the young ones is just extraordinary. They have way more credibility than I would if I was directly trying to teach them. Mm-hmm. Think of it. When you were 8, a 12-year-old was really grown up, right? Mm-hmm. And you would listen to 12, 13-year-olds. You would listen to them. Whereas the older, the adults, you wouldn't take any notice of them at all. They're just part of the enemy. And it really does work. Extraordinary. So this is the ministry that we're doing that gives excitement and hope that just we'll be able to leave this going when we leave in a year and a half's time, that this will continue on. Now, we had a little practice for that when we went on furlough to Canada because of the clubs. Two of them said, yeah, we are going to keep on going, even though you won't be coming down, because I always go down and I go around and I play music and lead them in praise and worship and that sort of thing, each club, go from club to club, pray for them and so on. And I said, I won't be able to do that. But they said, we're going to do it anyway. Now, that's pretty mature thinking from 13-year-olds. And the reason they did it, because they have fun. They enjoy doing it, and the children are having fun too. This is in no way is anyone being forced to do something they don't want to do. I think that's an incredible children's ministry. Now, we also teach children in a pretty irregular school, actually. It's only between 4 and 6 kids. They all children who the regular school system won't take on because they've had some sort of learning problem or they just haven't been making the grades. And so we have this privilege of teaching these children, boys and girls, mainly black. We've had one or two coloreds, I think.
Seth
is colored. In a little school called Masterpiece Academy, run by a wonderful lady called Mella Davis, Dr. Mella Davis. She has degrees in education, speaks several languages, and she knows a lot about how to teach. And so we're learning from her. I teach science and music, and Lorianne teaches art. And I'll come back to some of the advantages of that kind of routine a little later. But if there's one thing that the disadvantaged community in Avian Park and the other 8 or 9 townships in Worcester need, which can change their lives, it is, anybody like to hazard a word, the thing that they most need to get them out of the poverty gap? Education. And the government knows this. The government knows that it has to educate people. But most of the parents of these kids never had any education. We've got to the stage now where the children that we teach are now teaching their parents. They're teaching them about Christianity apart from anything else. So that's the problem. Parents who've never been to school are not going to be really good or keen or necessarily on making sure their children go to school. And sometimes for economic reasons, they don't want their children to go to school. So we, again, have this privilege of teaching these children. At the moment, we've got 4 kids in the class ranging from 5 to 8 years old. And again, teaching 5-year-old science is a challenge, which I'm gradually getting better at. Because I like to teach them things that they won't learn in their regular schools. Most of them won't learn any science until they're about 15 anyway. Well, I teach them about dark matter, and I teach them about telecommunications and laser beams and things like that. And they like it. They love it. And they will never remember where they learned about these things. But one day in university, they'll say that, well, I know that. When did I learn that? Because that's what happened with me. I was a kid. My father was an engineer. By the time I was 6, he had taught me most of the engineering and maths and mechanical stuff that I ever needed for the next 8 years or so. So I went through that same process. I couldn't ever understand why the other children didn't understand what they were being taught. So it's powerful teaching children. Right. Next thing. Dealing with government departments when you're a missionary can be a bit of a challenge. They seem to work at their own pace. And as an example, we now are in the Bronfly prison in Worcester, which has got about 2,500 inmates, and we've been doing that for more than a year. But it took us 6 months to get through the red tape to get in the first place. But once you get there, they're wonderful people. We love prison ministry, not least because the guards in that prison, most of the ones we come in touch with, are born-again Christians. And all of them have the welfare of the inmates in their concern. Wow. Now, we're used to being in prison ministry in Canada, where I can assure you that the guards have very little concern about the welfare of the inmates. In fact, they seem sometimes to do their best to destroy any self-image or any good attitudes that the inmates may have. A continual cursing going on all the time. None of that applies here. So I'm just saying, it took us a while to get in, but now we're there. It's a wonderful ministry. We enjoy it. I really look forward to Saturday mornings when we go in. We're now working with the youth center in Bronfleet. So we have the chance of young men between the ages of about 15 and 24, those sort of ages. Again, a key age. And they will tell you, prisoners will tell you, I'm actually glad that I was sent to prison because that's where I heard about Jesus. So it's a wonderful mission field. I'd like to now say something about, if you're a long-term missionary, do something unusual. Amongst the many things that you probably do, pick something that isn't being done at the present time. Lauriane mentioned that we have a radio station. It doesn't broadcast all the time. It just broadcasts on Wednesday and Thursday evenings for a couple of hours. And it doesn't broadcast, you can't pick it up on your radio, but you can pick it up on your computer. It's an internet radio station. And we really like doing this. I have now interviewed 65 people who live in the Worcester area and one or two who live in other places and got to know them as a result of talking to them on air for about 25 minutes. And they're all my friends now, all those 65 people. If I see them, I feel a strong bond with them. And Lauriane also, every program, she will broadcast a teaching very similar to what you heard from her earlier. In fact, that one goes out tonight. The slightly longer version of that one goes out tonight. She simplified it for you. But that was a joke. So you won't be able to listen to it because you don't have the Wi-Fi here, but you can listen to the podcast anytime in the future, and you might like to do that. It's called CWCP Radio, and I'm going to, before I forget, pass these around. There should be enough for everybody. Yeah, there's another. Whoops. And you will find on here the links to all our social media sites and including the radio station. I have a feeling I didn't bring enough for everybody.
I've got this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got plenty more at home, sir.
Just mouse over the listen area and you'll find the podcast for Ways to Grow in God and the podcast for Cobbles Western Cape Radio. I think we have enough.
We do? Good.
Yeah, we're good. Oh, yes.
Okay, next thing that I've learned that may be helpful to you if you go into long-term ministry, if you're going to be based in a certain town, join a church, join a local church, and become a regular worshipper there. We joined Worcester Christian Church, which is Church of Johannes Kuhnrad, who was here yesterday, I believe. Wonderful, wonderful preacher. And we are so happy that we decided to join that church. And we've become quite involved in the church. And we go to a connect group, a cell group. We run one small ministry for them, which is a soaking prayer group. And we've got a lot of friends. In fact, you could go up to a complete stranger in Worcester and say, "Oh, do you know Jesus?" "Yes, I do." "Well, which church do you go to?" "Oh, Worcester Christian Church." And that wouldn't be so unusual, because it's quite a large church. It's been running for about 24 years now. And join those groups. And don't just join Christian groups. I'm also a member of a local financial group called GIG, Generational Inheritance Group, where we project financial literacy, desperately needed in the community. So don't just limit yourself to Christian groups. We're meant to be in the community, not just in some sort of hyperspace Christian arena. As these things happen, expect the Lord to smooth your path for you. Don't worry that you might hit a challenge in 3 weeks' time because you haven't done this or that. Expect favor, because it honestly will come. So in my journal, which I do every day, every so often it pops off, and I write just TKOG, just one more thing the Lord did, which we didn't expect, we didn't pray for, but he's ahead of us, and his angels are watching over us. And little things like that, and sometimes they're big things, but he's interested in doing little things for us as well. It's not just a God that only listens when you have a huge, huge prayer. And we do pray for a parking slot when we need it. Special here in South Africa. I don't have too much experience of other countries. I've been on one or two short-term missions. But here's one reason that I was so happy to come back here after being in Canada for 6 weeks. There are relatively few atheists here. Now, in Canada, there are relatively few Christians. And everybody else thinks you're mad if you're a Christian. They think you're crazy. Now, here's this true story. When I was in the prison a couple of months ago, and we'd done the presentation, and we split into small groups, which we haven't much done, but the TV set broke, and so I had to do something, so we split into small groups. And then Soraya and I sort of sat in on one of these groups. And in the group I was in, which had about 10, 15 people in it, at one point the idea came up of people who don't yet believe in Jesus, are not Christians, they don't have a belief. And several of the men in the group looked at me like I was an alien. They said, "What? What do you mean they don't believe in God? How could all this be here without God?" They were amazed, these two young gangsters, two or three young gangsters, that anybody would not believe in Jesus. Only in South Africa, I believe, in the world today, might you find that sort of experience. People have believed in supernatural power. Now, it may be the wrong kind of supernatural power, but at least they believe in supernatural power. And if they believe in that, they can come to believe in the Christian faith. They can. This is something I'm really keen on. I work by routine. If I didn't have to get up each morning to be at the school to teach science, I probably wouldn't get up. And so in the process of deciding what you're going to do, get yourself something that's going to happen on a regular basis each day. Have a routine. Have a calendar. Don't just say, "Well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Maybe I'll go down and do some street ministry." And then next day you have this big decision. What shall I do today? And then the next day, what shall I do today? That's hard work. Yeah. I don't have to think about that. My whole day is mapped out and I don't have too much spare time. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful. I'm a calendar type person, and I would recommend that to anybody. Mm-hmm. By the way, you might be asked to join a board of directors. We are on a couple of boards of directors of ministries there. The reason is that they are short of people to do that kind of work. There's plenty of people who want to go out and tell the story of the gospel to anyone who'll listen. There's fewer number of people who are prepared to do the accounts for that ministry, like Lorianne does for Changemakers, or to sit on a board and make decisions that will change the whole benefit of that ministry. We were at a board meeting last week. And it was crucially important, that board meeting, to have the future direction of that group. And I'm rather pleased because we have three new board members, and two of them were people that I'd met through interviewing them on the radio program. And they're great. They're really significant. One was a lawyer. One is the person that runs Tuflug Rehab Center, very powerful place in Worcester. And they're now on our board. So people think, "Oh no, I'm not interested in doing background work in ministry." That would be wrong thinking. some of the most important work in missionary work is background work. And drink in great ministry. If you're going to be giving out Jesus' love, you need to take it in as well. And it doesn't matter. I don't think it really matters. I'm not going to say you must do this one or that one. But have ways in which you're going to get it coming into you. Mm. I'm a radio person. I love radios. I like listening to radio ministry. And I have various things that I do. But I think you need to make sure that happens. I don't think any of you don't realize that. Tell people about your stories. Social media is fantastic if you're a missionary. If you've got some Wi-Fi, that is. And people at home want to know. You need to keep yourself just for, if only so that you can continue funding your operations, you need to keep yourself in front of the people who maybe helped get you here with their donations. So Lorianne does just about all of that stuff for us, thank goodness. And you can find, if you want to see the kind of stuff we do, well, you've got the card now, you can go and look at it. But that's important. It's not just a kind of a side thing. And I think the last thing I want to say to you, and then we'll finish, is be a Martha. Now, you know about Martha and Mary? I think all of you are already Marys. But Martha, the practical one, she doesn't get such a good press, does she?
Because she was worried.
Yes. But she's the one that kept the family going. She's the one that cooked the food. She's the one who did things that are important in life. And I think she's rather downtrodden, poor old Martha. So you have to be a bit of a Martha if you're going to run a ministry. Because there's a lot of practical stuff that you have to get involved in. It's not all prayer and praise and all that. Here's a few other quick things about that. You must use efficient administration of yourself. You must have a calendar. If you were say you're going to meet somebody at a certain place at a certain time, you be there. If you only have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, once, and they'll stop asking you. Mm-hmm. So these things are really important. You must be reliable, not forgetful. We would have floundered here without getting a local bank account. We only have a bank account because somebody told us that FNB in Worcester may give you a bank account. The belief is that if you are not earning money and paying tax in South Africa, you cannot have a bank account. And all the banks will tell you that. It's not actually true. FNB has a huge organization who are many of their customers called YWAM in Worcester. And so when I went, somebody told me, just tell them you're associated with YWAM, which we are. We work with YWAM ministries all the time. Yeah. So don't take no for an answer. If you go into Capitec and they say, no, we can't give you one, good, check out FNB. And if necessary, go to Worcester and get it. If we didn't have a bank account, we would not be able to pay the rent on our house, pay for our Wi-Fi, transfer money directly from Canada to our bank account here, and so on. I don't know how we would handle those things without a bank account. And while I'm at it...
With an ATM?
Pardon? Oh, yes, you can... You can, but it's expensive.
Yeah, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
$85,000 each time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We use an organization, we don't use Western Union for bringing money in from Canada, we use XE Money Transfer, which happens to be a Canadian organization. I've been using them now ever since we started. They haven't put a foot wrong and they do not charge for the transfers. So XE, check them out. Yeah. The fact that they were Canadian was a bonus, but I haven't found other organizations doing that. Buy food from street vendors in South Africa. It's safe. You probably can't say that about many third, fourth world countries. We buy fruit and veg and lots of other things, samosas, always from street vendors. We save an awful lot of money. Everything is 10 rands. The accounting is easy. They sell it in 10 rand bags. All right, I think I'm done here. We've got... Half a minute for questions. If anyone has a burning question, otherwise.
You were about to say something like when dealing with the government.
Yes.
But I don't know if I caught your advice with that.
Well, expect frustration. We had to get security clearances to go into the prison. And that took a long time. And we have recently heard on a rumor that people have been paying the money to get the security clearance, and then they discover that somebody in that organization is just pocketing the money and not sending off their application. Because you don't hear anything for weeks. And after that, you think, oh, well, they must have...
Tell them about the tracking number.
Oh, yes. My home from home for the first month that I was here was the Worcester Traffic Department, just trying to get the license and everything for my car. And I was horrified here, by the way, that you can't actually get an insurance, car insurance, before you drive the car. It's impossible. So you're driving around without insurance for a little while. As a Canadian, the world's greatest insurance country, that to me was like the 11th commandment being broken left, right, and center. Anyway, we survived that one. Wow. So,
how long do you have to wait? Like 2 weeks?
It's just, you're always in lineups waiting for things and so on. But it's because you've not done it before.
Yeah,
now, after a year when I renewed, it was easy. Bang, bang, just straight in and out. But the first time you do it, and we could not manage, by the way, without a car. If you're thinking about coming on a long-term mission trip, a place like here, and you don't have a car, you're going to be very dependent on other people. Yeah. But you can buy a really old car, and it still works fine, because there's no salt on the roads in the wintertime. So we have a 2004 Mercedes. How about that? When we went back to Canada for 6 weeks, we rented a
Kia.
New, brand new Kia. It wasn't as good as our Mercedes.
Now, I suppose that depends on which country you go.
Yes.
Because South African transport, like in between cities, especially in the rural areas, in the city, like Cape Town, it's okay, but in the rural areas,
Thank you for being a delightful audience.
It's really amazing to see, just hearing the facts was great.
I hope you've got the impression that we have fun and joy from our ministry. We do.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Yeah. These guys are amazing. Don't you have a talent in your age?
I'm not going to. I want to keep my credibility.
No, please tell them. It's such an example.
I am 78. So there's still a place for old people in ministry.
I wish I could record you saying that to my mom. I'm like, Mom, I want you to come over if I ever get married in Africa or whatever. And she's always like, no. I'm like 60 plus years old now. I don't need to get on a plane. I'm like, Mom, it's just a plane.
Tony was in his 60s on his first mission trip.
Hey, even more. I think
what matters is your health. Not your age.
Yeah, no, I agree. I tell her that too.
Would you guys mind praying for us?
We would love to.
Ending in prayer. You guys will be joining us on Sunday for graduation.
Ooh.
I think we can do. I mean, we don't have the slides for the Sophie prayer thing, so we have cell group, but
we need to be back by 6 o'clock. It sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just let Nick know that we're.
So then you can ask him more questions from the well of wisdom.